Good morning, Denver. Thanks for listening to us here on Power Players. We have with us today Jason Elam from the Denver Broncos. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good morning, Ken. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining me on the program here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, on this show, Jason, we don't talk a lot about what's going on in the football season or anything. I will mention it's a pre-recorded show, so for people who are listening for time frame, we played the Colts yesterday, and we got a game coming up next weekend. Jason, just real quick, feeling pretty good this season? Everything looks real good.
Yeah, everything's going pretty good. We had a little setback in our last game there, but I think the teams we're playing really hard, and we got a tight group of guys, and the chemistry seems good, and so we're hoping we can do something pretty special here.
Well, it's sure fun to watch, and I know the listeners here just love watching you guys play, and we're all thankful for your career here. Now, you've been with the Broncos, I'm reading, 14 years now. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You're a Florida native like me. I grew up, I was born and raised down there. In fact, we're about the same age. So what's it like coming out here to Colorado? I know you've been out here for a long time now, but do you ever sit there back and think, man, I miss the beach and the sun?
Well, I went to college in Hawaii, so I got enough of the beach.
And oh, I bet.
So I just love Colorado. I love the mountains and the weather and the people here. And we have four kids now, and we don't want to be anywhere else. So I've been very, very blessed to be able to be here for 14 years, and hopefully I can finish up my career here.
Yeah, well, it looks good, at least from where we're sitting on this side. You know, we've got kids also. I can't imagine raising our kids in any other place. Well, Jason, what we want to talk about on here is some what we think is way more important stuff, and that's your faith, what's going on in your life, and what kind of stuff you're doing to use the stage that God's given you to advance His kingdom. And you are doing some pretty cool stuff. And I've read plenty. I know you've got an article in the Sports Spectrum magazine that's out right now that you did with those guys, and it talks a little bit about your ministry that you work with in Alaska. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a ministry called Arctic Barnabas, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Mission Aviation Fellowship, but they're kind of like that. It's a group of pilots that go out and minister. They're basically a pastor to pastors, and there's 65 families, pastoral families, out in the bush country of Alaska that they support in these various Eskimo villages and Aleut villages. And what they were finding is the guy that started it was flying with Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's deal there, and he was flying these pastors out, and then he'd get a call, maybe 2 to 6 months later saying, you got to get these families out. There's divorce, and there's just all kinds of family problems going on, and it's 24 hours of darkness during the winter up there, and just the spiritual darkness as well. So my buddy Joel, he started Arctic Barnabas, and that's all he wanted to do, is he wanted to go out and be a pastor to these pastors and encourage them and just take them gifts and just be a friend to them. And so we just kind of partnered up with them, and we've done some trips with them, and my wife actually went up there. That was the story in the Sports Spectrum. My wife, we were expecting last year, and Tammy, my wife, went up there and was going to go out to Kodiak Island to a couple of villages, and she ended up having a miscarriage on the trip. And we were just telling our story about how God used that whole experience to really reach a lot of the ladies out there in those little villages, and it was just kind of, it was really awesome to see how God can use just an 8-week-old little fetus to really impact His kingdom. So anyway, that's Arctic Barnabas kind of in a nutshell, and we just really, really love what they're doing up there.
Well, and your wife is way active in this too, isn't she?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I had to kind of twist her arm a little bit to the first time I wanted to take her up to Alaska. She was just, didn't really have a great image of what it was. She'd rather go to the beach, I think. So, but we went up there and we met a lot of the people and just fell in love with them up there and what they're doing. And, you don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go away to these far off places. I mean, right here in the United States, there's some pretty good mission fields that you can go to where people are really hurting and they haven't even heard of the gospel yet. So, we just are big believers in what Arctic Barnabas is doing.
That's awesome. Now, is there a way that people locally can get involved in that? Or, I mean, if it's, whether it's financial support or whatever it might be, to get involved with your missions?
Yeah, they have a great website. It's arcticbarnabas.org. And, you know, go on there and check it out. It's not a very big organization. They have about six couples, and that's the other thing that's really cool. The whole family is involved up there. They take their kids, and they go out to these Eskimo villages. The wives go out, and they befriend the pastor's wives and the ladies in the villages, so it becomes a big family ministry. It's not just like the guy jumping in the airplane and heading out and leaving his family behind. That's what really appealed to us, especially with having, you know, with four kids, and you know, the kids just had a ball just up there hanging out with all the Eskimo kids and doing all the fun stuff that Alaska had to offer, the clamming and the fishing and all kinds of stuff up there. So, you know, we just love the whole family atmosphere that it had.
That sounds like fun. I mean, I know it's not vacation, but it sounds like there's plenty to do up there to keep your whole family occupied. Did you do a little fishing when you were up there too?
We did. And then, actually, I've been going up there the last few years. Right before training camp starts, I'll take my son, my oldest, and we go on a little father-son fishing trip. And we got a couple other fathers that we all go up there and just kind of relax and hang out with our sons and do some fishing and go out and, like I said, do some clamming and just laugh. I mean, it's just fun to just kind of hang out with your son and just kind of build into him a little bit more.
Oh, that sounds great. I'm in. Sign me up. The only thing that's hard for me is those little planes, man.
Well, I'm a pilot, too, so that's why it kind of appeals to me. I love flying those little float planes around and things like that.
Well, and that's another thing. You, on that same trip, did you have a little incident there that you had also mentioned in the sports spectrum, too?
I did. You did your homework, didn't you?
A little bit.
Yeah, a buddy of mine let me borrow his plane. We were getting ready to come back to Denver, and we had about 8 or 10 hours to kill before we caught our flight. So I took his plane over. There was a little cabin we were trying to find over on the other side of the Cook Inlet, about, I don't know, it was probably 60, 70 miles west of where we were at on the Kenai Peninsula. And to make a long story short, I got over there, and we saw a big grizzly bear on the beach walking around, and the weather was starting to turn, and so my buddy wanted to take a picture of the bear, and so I did a big circle, came around, and lost my engine as we were coming down to take the picture, and I was maybe 150, 200 feet off the beach and had to make an emergency landing on the beach, and it just turned into a pretty big mess, being in the middle of nowhere with a big grizzly bear right off the wing, and finally got the engine running again and got out of there, but yeah, it got a little hairy there for a minute.
Man, that sounds like the makings of a scary movie almost. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, Jason. We'll be back on the other side and talk to you just a little bit more about that.
You got it.
94.7 KRKS.
Hey, Denver. Ken Watmore here with Power Players. I know that Christians want to support Christian businesses, but how do people know who's who? Well, one way to market your business is in the Christian Business Directory. I use it for my business, and I've been very satisfied. If you want to find out how, call the Christian Business Directory today at 1-800-445-5614 or email them at info@redletter.com. Again, that's 1-800-445-5614 or email them at info@redletter.com.
The teen years can be tough and a little scary. Kids are deciding who they really are, and they're making decisions that will affect the rest of their lives. Since 1941, Young Life leaders have been building relationships with kids, showing them that someone believes in them, that they have value, helping them find their purpose in life. At Young Life, we're about giving kids hope for today, tomorrow, and eternity.
All right, thanks for coming back and joining us here on Power Players. Today with us is Jason Elam. We were just talking the other side about the missions that you've been working with in Alaska and things like that. But let's talk a little bit about football, but maybe in a different way than what people are used to hearing. And that's, Jason, being a Christian on the field in a major venue like this, you know, it becomes a lot of times all about the athlete. And I'm sure that, and especially in your position, I mean, you, boy, that's, I can't even imagine the pressure of trying to kick a field goal or an extra point in a game-winning situation. I mean, how much of your faith applies out on their field, or does it get clouded sometimes by just the extreme pressure of the situation?
Well, I mean, yeah, there is a lot of pressure, and you always, at least myself, I'm always reminded that, you know, I can't do it by myself. I mean, I rely completely on Jesus, and I'm out there praying the whole game for Him to help me. And you know, I think that it's not really my job. It's not really my job to be good. It's my job to be faithful. And right. You know, Hebrews 12:2 tells us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and you know, just that constant mindset of always keep God center in your life. And you know, like I said, it's not our job to be good. It's just to be faithful. And if we're faithful, you know, He's going to be there for us, and He's got a perfect plan set out for us. And you know, things may not always go great for us. You know, things may not always go like we would want them to. But even in the midst of what we perceive as bad, you know, just remain faithful and trust God. That's all He wants. So, you know, I think that takes a lot of pressure off of me. I think it takes a lot of pressure off of us as Christians, as long as we remind ourselves constantly that God does have a perfect plan for us, and He loves us, and He wants to bless us. And you know, He's just going to... He tells us that He's going to throw open the storehouses for us if we just remain faithful. So, anyway, that's kind of my mindset. And you know, if everything ended today on the football field, I know God's got something, you know, even better for me after football. So, you know, that's what I try to lean on, is just is my faith in that regard. And you know, He has been. He's always been faithful. He's never been unfaithful to me. And I try to always be as faithful as I can. And I'm a flawed man, and I mess up many, many more times than I'd like to. But I just try to keep my eyes fixed on Him and stay humble and know that He's in charge.
Yeah, you know, and that's I applaud that attitude. It's funny because when you look at things, I mean, you've had two Super Bowl rings, plenty of Pro Bowl appearances, you know, all kinds of great accolades. And if you think about all that stuff and you wrap it up, and like you said, after football, He's got something greater planned for you here. But I'd mentioned this before on this program too, if anyone had heard this before. But, you know, I love thinking about the fact that no matter what He's got for us here, the greatest thing that we can imagine here in our worldly minds, in our feeble little minds, is when the day we walk through those gates and we're with Him in forever fellowship. And forever worship, it's greater than the most major thing we could imagine here. And,
absolutely. I mean, we can't even comprehend that kind of thing, you know. we get little glimpses in the Bible of it, but we can't comprehend it. And that's, I just really long for that whole, you know, when you enter in and He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I think that's what every Christian longs for. And, you know, if you look at it, just to try to keep an eternal perspective, We're only here on Earth for, I mean, just if you just try to put quote unquote time in perspective, we're here for such a minute part of eternity that you know, our job again is just to try to be as faithful as we can and impact the world here and keep a biblical worldview, biblical perspective. And you're exactly right. I mean, I just can't wait for that day to come.
Absolutely. Now, do you, talking about impact, and I mean, do you find that do people come to you in the locker room? And I'm not asking for names or anything like that, but do people, other players, come to you in the locker room ever and seek guidance from a godly man? I know we're never where we want to be with God. We're always working at getting better and closer. But do people come to you and say, "Man, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me?"
Yeah. I have that happen quite a bit, actually. And usually it's a very one-on-one time. You know, guys will say, hey, Jason, I need to talk to you later on. And, you know, you can tell they want it to be a very private time, whether they're asking me questions about, you know, the Bible apologetically, or whether they're having problems in their marriage, or whether they're just, whatever struggle they're having, yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the that's my mission field right now. I'm just trying to build into the friends that I have on the team, the guys that God has put in my life. You know, just building those relationships and building a trust there. And yeah, it does. It happens quite often.
That's very cool, and it's refreshing to hear too. You know, we as spectators, we just see one side of it so much, and that's, you know, that's the constant in-your-face cameras and the pride, and it's understandable. But it's refreshing to know that there's people that are seeking, and it's encouraging. And I want to be an encouragement to the listeners too that, you know, God uses us right where we're at, and there's you know, I've been in a business for a long time, and I won't go into that. I don't want it to be a personal promotion show. But I've been in a business a long time, and at one point I was thinking about getting out of that business. And I remember a gentleman who came up to me. He's a good brother, and he said, "Ken, why are you leaving?" And I said, "Man, I just don't feel like I'm being a good service here." And he said, "God's calling you to be right where you're at, and to be you know, use this as your mission field, just like you said." And boy, he just puts things. If we're open to hearing what he's telling us, I mean, if we're open to being moved by him, he will use us, and he'll put things in our paths where he can really reveal to us that he's got a perfect plan for us, and it's part of it wherever he moves us.
Oh, you're exactly right. And that whole saying about, you know, God doesn't call the equipped; he equips the called. And you know, I think if you look and you got to realize, if you're in one of those places where you don't feel like, you know, God's using you or something, you got to realize there's all kinds of stuff that's probably happening behind the scenes that God's orchestrating. And, you know, there's so many times that I've felt like, wow, I'm being completely ineffective here. And I have completely felt like that before. And just to kind of be still and know that God is God, that whole Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. You know, and that he is working constantly behind the scenes, and all we're supposed to do is be faithful. Just try to be still, be faithful, pray. That whole cliche about praying, I mean, it's so true. I mean, just have a strong prayer life and let God speak to you, and he will guide you and direct your paths.
Absolutely. Jason, we're going to take another quick break. We get back one more short segment, and we'll be all done here. So we'll be back right on the other side. I do want to encourage the listeners, drop me an email at powerplayers947@yahoo.com. That's powerplayers947@yahoo.com anytime, and I'll get back right on the other side.
94.7 KRKS.
In today's world, it's easy to think that kids are out of control, over the edge, and impossible to understand. But at Young Life, we think kids are great. Since 1941, Young Life leaders have been going into the world of teenagers, giving them direction, hope, friendship, and great news. Find out more about Young Life in your area. Visit us online. At Young Life, we think kids are great.
You need a vacation to pamper yourself in world-class comfort, the kind of luxury you'll find in only the most exclusive resorts. Large, exquisitely appointed rooms make even the act of lounging in bed seem like a treat for the senses. As your feet step across the warm European stone tile of the bathroom and you slowly immerse your body in the large, inviting hot tub, the day melts away. Then, imagine you never had to leave. It's not a dream. It's not an exclusive resort. It's your own Holly Berry home. You might think building your own custom paradise is too expensive to consider, but you'll be surprised just how affordable it can be. Come tour one of the models for yourself and see what kind of lifestyle you can have in a Holly Berry home. There's even a semi-custom series starting in the 500s. See for yourself at hollyberryhomes.com. Once you move in, you'll never want to leave. Holly Berry Homes. We build dreams.
All right, thanks for coming back to Power Players. We're here with Jason Nealon. Jason, we've been talking about some work that you're doing for our Lord right now with your missions trips to Alaska. I do want to mention again, if you wouldn't mind dropping that website one more time.
Yeah, it's www.arcticbarnabas.org, and it's ARCTIC, arcticbarnabas.org.
Great. And now I just want to ask you also, you know, if you were to look at your career from high school all the way to where you're at now in football, would you say that you have one most memorable moment?
Well, there's when you say that, I think there's several things that kind of flood back to me. One is definitely the Super Bowls back in 97 and 98 that we won, especially the first one that we played against Green Bay. They were heavy favorites. They'd won the year before, and they came in, I think we were 14-point underdogs, and we were a wild card team. We'd kind of gone on the road and gotten hot, kind of like Pittsburgh did last year, and went up against them, and nobody was expecting us to even give them a game. And it was, turned into a great game. You know, all the Super Bowls before that had been, you know, blowouts and not even a whole lot of fun to watch other than, you know, maybe the commercials. So that was probably one of the most memorable ones, just when John Mobley knocked the ball away that Brett Favre had thrown right at the very end of the game, and just hit you that, wow, we won, we're world champions. You know, that was a pretty incredible feeling. And so, the two Super Bowls, I would have to put those just right at the top.
Oh, I can only imagine. Well, they were sure fun to watch, and it's funny being a Denver fan. You know, you talk to a lot of people, and we've got some intense fans, and everybody remembers so many things categorically in their life. You know, these major political events, major world events, and they all remember where they were when Denver won the Super Bowl. So, it's pretty funny. How about worst moments? Absolute worst things. I mean, and I'm talking about your whole career. I mean, is there any major thing career related?
Well, sure. I mean, just missed kicks in critical situations. You know, those always haunt you. When the team lost to Jacksonville in 96, when we had home field advantage throughout and we lost in the first round of playoffs, I mean, that was one that hurt. There's going to be times where we're human. We're going to mess up. And, so I've got plenty of those times that I could go back to, I think this is just, I never dreamed that I'd be here in Denver for 14 years when I got here. And this has been an unbelievable blessing to be here with this organization in this town, being able to raise my family here and be with the Broncos for 14 years. It's pretty incredible. So, I try to look at the blessings more than I look at, all the failures I've had.
Sure, I definitely understand that. Well, and, you know, it's let me go back. Let me ask you this, because you had said you never thought you'd be in Denver for this long. When you were in high school or even going to college, I mean, did you know you're going to the NFL? I mean, were you driven that way? Or were you just taking it like every day as a, wow, this is amazing, what a blessing, and here I go? Or did you always strive for that? Did you know you were going there?
Well, you know, I think during high school and early college, it was always a dream. You don't really think it's going to happen. About my junior year in college, I had a lot of people start to tell me, hey, you got a shot at this. You're at least going to get tryouts and be in a camp during training camp. So, you know, I knew I would at least get a pretty strong look at that point, but I never dreamed that I'd be I was drafted in the third round by the Broncos. I'd never, the kickers usually don't get drafted at all, so that was very special. And I just never thought that it would last that long. Most kickers kind of bounce around from team to team and maybe make it for 5, 7, 8 years or whatever, but I've had a great time and really enjoyed every minute.
Well, like I said, I've said it I think a couple times on the show, we've enjoyed it with you as well. It's great to have a strong Christian who's not afraid to talk about the gospel, proclaim his faith, and really use that stage out there on the field. Finally, Jason, is there, just any way our listeners could be praying for you?
Well, just, I can always use prayer. just pray that I remain faithful. You know, I get up every morning, and my prayer is that, Lord, make me a good husband, a good father, a good friend. Those kind of things, and just that I remain right in the middle of his will, whether that's, going to be tough times or fun times. So, I think it all comes back to just trying to remain faithful to him.
Well, again, Jason, thanks for taking the time out of your schedule. I know it's hard in the season like this, and I really, really appreciate the time, and we will be praying for you, and we'll enjoy watching the rest of the season. Thanks again, Jason.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on.
Have a great day.